comes. Because without you, all we will do and say we amount to nothing. But with you, there is power. There is result. There is effect. Amen. Now come strong in your manifest presence and touch every man, every woman, every child, everyone who is here to this day, that your will be done in our lives, that Jesus will be glorified. Come, Lord. Come. Come, Holy Spirit. Come. Come with your anointing. Come, Lord. Come with the anointing that destroys every yoke. Have your way, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Blessed be the name of the Lord. Thank you, Lord. I want to speak on the power of prayer. And I'd like to read from the book of James, chapter 5. First of all, I want to read James 5:16. If you have a Bible, turn with me. If you don't have it, please just listen. I want to read the last line. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Now I want to read that same chapter, James 5. I want to read from verse 13. Is any among you afflicted? Another version says, is any among you suffering? Let him pray. Is any among you merry? Let him sing psalms. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if he has committed any sins, they shall be forgiven. Confess your faults one to another, and pray one for another, that ye may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much.
Oh, thank you, God.
Yes. Elijah was a man subject to like passions as we are. And he prayed earnestly that it might not rain. And it rained not on the earth by a space of 3 years and 6 months. From this passage we have read on the importance of prayer, this passage was written to believers like me and you, not to unbelievers, on the necessity of prayer, why we should pray. Because there is power in prayer.
Amen.
Prayer changes things.
Yes.
Amen.
Prayer is one of the weapons that God, that Jesus has given to his people, by which we can move the hand of God, and by which we can avail ourselves of the redemptive promises that Jesus has died for. And you see, it says, is any among you, why pray? Is any among you suffering? I'm sure you can all relate with that. I can relate with that. Sometimes in your life, you do have aspects or areas of your life where you have sufferings, where you have lack, where you have need, where you have afflictions. Because we live in a world that is earthly. And these are the facts. These are the information that we have to contend with, that we have to deal with. This is the position of things. It could be sickness. It could be disease. It could be poverty. It could be problem in your place of work. It could be emotional issues, emotional problems. These are the facts. We need prayer to be able to overcome the pressure of life. That's because right. Jesus has paid for all these things. All these things that surround us, the circumstances and the facts around us, they are our condition. But we do not live by our condition. We live by our position in Christ.
Amen.
Because in Him we live and move and have our being.
That's right.
Amen.
We are not going to eliminate these circumstances and situations tomorrow. Like now, let me give you an instance. You know that now the stock, if you have some money in the stock market, because I got my report. There are some losses. The stock market is always, it goes back and forth, back and forth. We took some big hit. Those are the facts. But I'm not going to live by that. I just told you that the market goes back and forth, back and forth. I'm waiting, I'm patient, like many other people, because I know that the economy is strong and it's not going to remain like that, and things are going to change. And moreover, my economy and your economy is determined by the economy of heaven.
Amen.
That's right. Amen.
Amen.
Is it? So this is what this passage is talking about. Is it sickness? I can go on forever if I have to talk about sickness, because a lot of power has come out from this house. This very last year, 2018, a lot of power that has led to healings of sicknesses and diseases. A lot has come out of this house through the prayers of believers in this house. I have cases of cancer healed.
Amen.
People with different types of sicknesses, God has taken care of them because of the power of prayer. Not only here, in all other places too. You know, last night, about 10:30 p.m., somebody called me. Some guy called me. He was in distress. He said because his wife has been diagnosed with stage 2 cancer. And I said, and so what? I said, that is no problem for God.
Amen.
I said, even the year that just passed, God healed stage 4 cancer. And then I told him another person that he knows about. I said, God healed that person of something that was not even equal to the diagnosis that has been given to your wife. So this guy, although he was talking to me on the phone, he wasn't happy. But as soon as I started to talk to him, you could see that he lightened up. Then he said, wait, let me go to the other place so that he can hear me clearly, because he called me from his place of work. There was loud noise because he liked what he was hearing. He liked what he was hearing because it wasn't me. If it's me, I am not profitable to anybody. But it's Christ in me. If I give you the word of Christ, Christ is profitable. And the word of Christ, and the word of Christ, and the word of God, and the redemptive work that Christ has done for us is what we are to live by. So therefore, the church should not waste its time any longer trying to explain why sicknesses are there. Try to explain why the sicknesses cannot go away. Try to explain our condition, but we should rather explain our position in Christ, that Amen. By the stripes of Jesus, we were healed. Amen. And because we were healed by the stripes of Jesus, we are healed.
Amen.
That we do not live by what we see, because we are in the physical world. We do not live by what we see, but we live by what is revealed. We live by the revelation that we receive from God. God by His Spirit reveals to us that we are protected, that we are preserved, that even though we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, we will not get hurt.
Amen.
And God's word has assured us that God will prepare a table for you in the presence of your enemies. So even though the walls may be falling and the skies may be falling, you are rest assured that the joy of the Lord is your strength.
Amen.
And that they will pass, because this is the word of the Lord. The word of God never fails.
Amen.
Blessed be the name of the Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. And he says, if you are in trespasses, you are living in sin, you are living in trespasses, that the prayer of the saints will heal you, because Jesus has already paid. Maybe the guilt for your sins that you have committed, even though you have confessed, but the devil is still freaking you out and reminding you of those things that Jesus has already overcome for you. And because of that, the guilt in you will not allow you to move forward. Your life is stagnated. Today I speak to you that every stagnation in your life is dissolved in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Because the power of God is here.
Amen.
The Apostle Paul said he has not come. He has not come to present eloquent words or fine speeches, but he has come to demonstrate the power of the Holy Spirit, to come in the power of the name of the Lord. Everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And our God is here to do exceedingly above and beyond all that we can expect. And our God is here. So as you are here this morning, whatever it is, whatever issue that you might be dealing with, lay it down, because this is the house of the Lord.
Amen.
Today, this house of the Lord is your altar, and you have come to the altar of the Lord to be altered.
Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
Yes, because the Holy Spirit, He is good like that. He chisels away those things that don't belong, those things that are barriers to you, those things that hold you down. When you yield yourself to the Holy Spirit, He takes them away. He chisels them away. So that the way that God sees you, that is how you will see yourself. And that is how you are going to be. And now you will no longer continue to fear the devil, even though the devil has some powers to afflict you, but you will believe God more, that God, who has more power than the devil, can deliver you from the hand of the enemy.
Amen.
That was what Daniel and the other three Hebrew children, that was what they said. They said, even though the decree had been made, and the decree is have your way, Lord. Every bondage is broken, because that is why Jesus came. Everyone in imprisonment, the walls of imprisonment, they are dismantled, they are broken, they are set free, because Jesus paid the price. Live in the abundance of freedom. Live in the realities of the freedom that Christ has died for. Because he paid the price in full. The price that the gift of God that God has given to you through Christ, they are not on layaway.
Amen.
The price is paid in full.
Amen.
Victory is yours in the name of Jesus. And I speak that victory to come into your life today, because the power of God is here. We are not speaking in the name of any individual. We are not speaking in the name of any man. We are not speaking in the name of any woman. We are speaking and standing on the authority of the word of God. And we have our plea. Our plea is the blood of Jesus. When I see the blood, I will pass over you. That is the word of the Lord. And the word of the Lord stands.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. As I told you, the guy called me about 10:30 last night about his wife's diagnosis. I said, that is nothing. I said, now you say it after me. I said, say it is nothing. He said, it's nothing. I said, yeah, it's nothing. That is going to be the report. It's nothing. There are two reports. The reports of the doctors. We thank God for medicine. We thank God for the skill and knowledge of the doctors. They do a lot. God has given them wisdom. We respect it. We thank God because when they bring the diagnosis, now we know the facts and we are able to present the facts and weigh it against the truth of God's word. And the truth of God's word prevails. We have seen it over and over and over again. And we are going to continue to see it. Because the word of the Lord stands sure. It never changes. After I spoke to him, and I said, when you get home tonight, that was last night. I said, when you get home, tell your wife to say that cancer diagnosis is nothing. It's nothing. It's nothing. I said, the medical plan that they have given to you, I said, follow it. I said, through prayers, we will overcome. And it's going to turn out to be nothing. I said, in a short while, you are going to see that the doctors are going to give you a different report that it is nothing, and I will call that in Jesus' name. He was so happy. His countenance changed, and as I stand here this morning, I'm telling you that if there is a report that you are contending with, it may not be a medical report. It could be something in your life. It could be something in your family. It could be a situation that has baffled you for a very long time, and there appears to be no resolution to it. Yes. Those are the facts on the ground. But we do not live by the facts. The facts make us to be aware. We live by the truth of God's word. Because Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Yeah. Now, when you are confronted by a set of facts, now you present Jesus as the truth. The truth that Jesus is not like the facts. It's not like a set of facts like me and you are talking about. The truth that Jesus is a person. And then you now call on the truth. Bring Jesus. Call on the truth. Call on Jesus. Jesus will come and stand against those situations. Amen. And whatever situations that may be confronting you this morning, even as you have come here, I declare that Jesus, the person of Jesus, comes and stands against those problems, and they wither and they are canceled. Amen. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord. Now, me and you, we speak words. The same thing, Jesus was word spoken. But you see the difference? Even though he was word spoken, the word became flesh. The same way, the truth will become flesh. Yeah. The same way, Jesus is the way. Not even though practically, yes, he's the way, like the road, like the express way. But the way that he is more than that. He's a person.
Yeah.
So when you have no way out of your situation, east, west, north, south, you seem to have come to the dead end of life. Then you call upon his name, and he will stand right there with you, and he will show up with you. He will appear before the situation, and the situation will melt in Jesus' name.
Amen.
That is why Zerubbabel said, it's not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts. And when you read further, now Zerubbabel now said, now who are you, O mountain, to me? Be gone in the name of the Lord. So every mountain that is in your way, that is in your progress, I speak to the mountain this morning to abate in Jesus' name.
Amen.
The name that is above every other name. Jesus wants us to call upon his name, and he will show. He never fails us. As I was preparing for this. Now, something I did not think about, the Spirit of God just placed it in my heart. The Spirit of God told me, you remember when you were a teenager? I said, yes. He said, you know, one night, like about 2 a.m., I came from Nigeria. So I was in Nigeria. That's many years ago. In the night, a prominent member, Kuraba Shura, Murabako, Shira la Bokurila, Kondoro la Bokoshi, Irila ba Kondobori, Irila Bokurila ba Kandara la Boshikere, Irila ba Kondor, Iri Bokoshike, Irila ba Kondor, Moroko Buri, Kandara Lamboko Siri, Indirele Buri, Kalabo, Makirebo Sikala, Mandirele Buri Rabo, Mukurilaba, Irebo Sirebo, Kandara Lambokuri, Makuru Buri, Kandara Kurubo, Kakurubo Sikirebo, Karalaba. Isn't it nice? We with such imperfections of speech, the Holy Spirit come, kur, kur, shur, makasi karabo, makaro lobo shi, irilaba kondoro lobo, ikere lebo kabo, makindere lebo, irilebo kori, makuru boko shi kere lebo. I knew he was up to something. Kur, makasi kara, kuru boko shi kuru, makuru boko shi kuru. Today, your life is changing.
Amen.
Today, your life is changing. Today, your life is changing in Jesus' name. That your life is changing. Your life is changing. Your life is changing because you have had an encounter. You are having an encounter with the Savior this morning. He's here this morning in might, in power. Kuraba shukurubu, makurubu, shakirubu, makurubu, shikirubu, mararaka kundurubu, marakara. Yes, I said, yes, I remember. Now, when I was a teenager, a prominent member of the church, probably he was in his 60s. Very nice man, very active man. He was a deacon in the church. In the local churches, the deacon is the highest office next to the pastor. And he was also the men's leader, and he was also the treasurer of the church. So at night, he died. Wasn't sick, nothing. Probably now they will say that is massive heart attack. But where we come from, we know that that is a demonic attack. So they went and called the pastor. 2 a.m. The guy died. And it's not there's no 911 there. There's no hospital even. There's no hospital around. So if somebody dies, he dies. Then in the morning, they're going to bury him. The pastor came. The pastor was a spirit-filled man. He came. The whole community was there. Many of them, they don't know God. Then the pastor started to speak in tongues. He was praying. He started to speak in tongues. He was speaking in tongues. Praying. Speaking in tongues. Nobody understood what he was saying. Now, the man that died, he got up.
Oh,
and sat down.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
Yeah.
The guy sat down. So in the morning, when the whole community gathered, you know that was a big thing. When the whole community gathered, the leader of the community is not a Christian, but a very prominent man too. He was the leader. I was there. Now he is talking to the community and then he's addressing the pastor. He tells the pastor, that's something that we saw you speaking yesterday. That was how they could explain it. Because they didn't know, but they know that the pastor was talking the language they did not understand, because we all speak the same dialect. And you know, told the pastor, that's something that you were speaking, that we saw that you were speaking. And this man got up, the man that was dead, he got up, said, we want you to do it again. And then they, because of what happened, they believed on the word of the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
So when the Bible says that one of the things that tongues do,
yeah,
is that it's a sign,
yeah,
to the unbeliever.
Yeah.
So the unbelievers who were there, they saw the power that is in tongues. Because the man who died, and there was no CPR, there was no doctor, there was no nothing, they were waiting for him to be buried. By speaking in tongues, the man got up. So they were awed by the power of God. So today, God wants me to declare to you, whatever is dead in your life is resurrected in Jesus' name. Whatever is dead in your spirit, in your body, is resurrected in Jesus' name. Whatever is dead in your family, I speak to it to resurrect, because Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believes in me, though he was dead, yet he shall live. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Now, why do we have to pray? Because we have an accuser who doesn't play fair. The devil, the adversary. And then he's bringing cases against us. And then when you hear of an adversarial system, an adversary, and then the false accuser, false accusation, what comes to mind is a judicial system. And our God is the just judge. And as our pastor said just now, we have our chief intercessor, and that is Jesus. And he continues to intercede for us.
Amen.
Yes, all we need to do is to apply the intercession that Jesus continues to intercede for us. Because we know that the devil brings false accusation against us. And on the first of this year, January the 1st, the Holy Spirit gave it to me. I got a revelation. He said, pray against the devil's lien on your life. You know what is a lien? People who do real estate, or if you owe the city money, and you have not paid your taxes or something, they come and put a lien on your house. That is, they have interest. Their lien has to be prayed first. If you buy a car and then you have not paid, now they have a lien on that car. So the devil, the Holy Spirit told me, I don't do real estate. I had no reason to think like that. But the Holy Spirit told me, pray against the devil's liens. So the devil, any lien that the devil has placed on your life, because he doesn't play fair, he did it to Job. He told God, does Job serve you for nothing? He took the motive of Job against him. So the same thing, the devil is busy bringing false accusations against God's children. And mark you, we have been bought with a price. And we need to live under that redemptive privileges and the redemptive work that Christ has done for us. But the devil wants to stand in your way by bringing false accusations against you. You know that sickness is not from God. Sickness is from the devil, but it doesn't mean that because somebody is sick, the person has committed sin or not, or so. That is not why. But sickness comes from the devil. Sometimes they tell you, you go to the hospital, to the doctor, they ask you, your grandfather, your grandmother, did she or did he have this cancer? Did he have this? Because they believe that now it has to be, because it is hereditary, that because of the bloodline, somebody in the family had that sickness, then this person should have it. Those are demonic inheritances. So this morning, every demonic inheritances that the devil is using against you to bring a lien and to place a lien on your life, on the liberty that God has given to you, I break it in Jesus' name.
Amen. We
thank you, Lord. Because you are a new creation. Anyone who is in Christ is a new creation. So that bloodline of your family that makes you subject to that infirmity no longer applies to you. Because you are now subject to the bloodline of Jesus. You are now subject to the DNA of Christ. So sickness can no longer mingle in your body. And when you live in that consciousness and you declare it and call it upon yourself, call it and call it again. And it will be so. It will be real. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. And now, Paul was writing to the Ephesians. He said that we do not fight against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and spiritual wickedness in the high places. Therefore, put on the whole armor of God. This is another reason why we have to pray. Because as children of God, we are not called to be indolent. You know, the Bible says we are God's workmanship, created for good, for his good works. So God has not called us to be indolent because he has done everything for us. No, that is not the way it works. Jesus Christ said the Holy Spirit will come. And the Holy Spirit is resident in us. And the Holy Spirit, he's our helper. And the Holy Spirit, he's our teacher. And the Holy Spirit wants to walk with us, wants to connect with us, to bring us in line with the will of the Father. And when we understand the will of the Father, and the will of the Father is for us to be healed, is for us to prosper, is for us to not be under the bondage of the enemy. Now, what Jesus died for will be exercised and will be real in our lives. So because Paul knows that, he was writing to the Ephesians Christians, just like me and you, because he does not want us to be caught off guard. You remember in the Bible, Jesus sent out the disciples, the 12. He sent them out 2 by 2. He gave them power. And in another, later, he sent out the 70, 2 by 2. He commissioned them and he gave them power. As you will recall, when they came back with very good testimonies. They were very happy. And they told Jesus, even the demons, they bow down at the mention of your name, as it should be. The power that Jesus gave to them, Jesus did not take it away. He did not rescind it. The power was still there. But you will look at afterwards. Then one day, Jesus found out that there was some commotion between his disciples and some people. There was some talk, and Jesus said, "What's going on?" And the guy comes up and says, "Jesus, my son is afflicted with demonic spirit. He's dumb and deaf. And when the spirit comes over him, it beats him down and down and down." And I He said, "And I brought him to your disciples to heal him, and they could not." Recall that Jesus already gave them power. Now, Jesus healed the boy. And even after Jesus healed him, after the boy was healed, the devil smacked him again. Jesus took him up. And that was it. Now the disciples went to Jesus secretly, as we will do too. But how come? How come we could not do that? Jesus told them, "This kind can only be accomplished through fasting and prayer." That lines up with what Paul is saying in Ephesians 12. There are hierarchy of the demonic. There are hierarchy of powers. Now, that is why we need to stand up with God and be real with him and to do business with him. Whether it's a first class or second class or all the territorial powers, Jesus has already overcome them all. All we need to do is to shape up and line up, measure up with the level of God's word, and not to bring down the power of God to our own level of fear. When we bring the power of God to our own level of understanding, we cheapen and make the power of God ineffective. But when we raise our circumstances and situations to the level of God's word, now God's word prevails.
Yeah.
And we are overcomers.
Amen.
Now this is what that was what Jesus told them. In the same way, we need to pray. Pray without ceasing. Mm-hmm. Now we also need to fast.
Yeah.
Some years ago, we were fasting all the time and praying all the time. Now one night in the revelation, I felt, that when you have power, A boxer or a wrestler, because of the training, they know that they are strong. They know that they have power. When you have money too, you have a lot of money in the bank, you know that you have financial power. Isn't that true? Yes. So in the night, I was very high. And today, you have a new level of high. You know why you have a new level of high? Because our God is the Most High God.
Amen.
I was very high in the spirit. Now I saw the demons come around me in my dream, in this revelation, and I was happy because I was ready to do. I was ready to fight. I had a big stick. Now the devil told. That's when I knew that demons don't attack you without getting authorization from the devil. The demons all around me, I was one alone with them. Then the demons asked their master whether they should attack me. Their master said, no, don't attack him. I knew why he said it, because I was praying, and I was full of the Holy Spirit, fasting and praying. But I was ready to fight. Amen. Now I told the devil in the sleep, in this revelation, I said, what of all the harassments you have been giving to the people of God? I said, leave me alone is not enough. I said, you have been harassing the people of God. It's time for us to be on the offensive and to fight back. Amen. You know, this was spiritual encounter. So I took my big stick and I started to whip them with the big stick. So now the demons told Lucifer, you told us don't attack him. See what he's doing to us. So he told them, go ahead against me. And that's what I was ready for. And as they came, they want to attack me. I said, During the Gulf War, the news we heard, they said, the American military, the American Air Force, was now flying over the airspace of Iraq with air superiority, you know, with air superiority, because they had power. Thank God we have our brother here who served in the military. I said they announced it because they knew they had power. They said they were commanding the airspace with air superiority. But the point I'm saying is that in the same way, I was commanding the realm of the spirit with spiritual superiority. Yeah. And I woke up. Mm. Well, my prayer woke up, my wife woke up. Yeah. My wife woke up. She said, what's going on? Yeah. I said, don't worry, we have won.
Yeah.
I said, this is victory. I was boisterous. I was happy.
Yeah.
The same way, that victory is yours today. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
The hand of the enemy against you dematerializes. I was reading John G. Lake's. He gave me the book because of the commission the pastor has said. John G. Lake's, they are praying for people. They said the hand of the enemy dematerializes. And it works. I said, oh God, thank you for giving me a new prayer language. I see the devil is attacking anybody, disease, sickness. I said, it dematerializes.
Amen.
The hand of the enemy is knocked out. The hand of the enemy becomes null and void in Jesus' name, because we have come to the house of the Lord. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous runs in and is safe.
Amen.
You see, Elijah, the portion referred to that we just read from, said Elijah was somebody like us. There was drought for 3.5 years. And he prayed that there will be rain. And he told the king that go home, it was going to rain. The drought was over. And Elijah sent out his servant, go look towards the sea and see whether the cloud is there. He looked, there was no cloud. So it may seem that God's promises to you, they seem to be evaporating. Let me tell you, there is a thin layer between the spiritual and the physical. God can turn your situation around overnight. But Elijah persisted, told him, go and check it 7 times. The 7th time, they saw the little sign of the sky. That little sign was enough. Just one word, spoken word of God to you is enough to turn your life around.
Amen.
Now, about 3 years ago, somebody, he ministers in the prophetic, spoke to me. He said there was healing in my hands. I'm saying this to not because of me, to show you how the power of God works. And that I was going to have a ministry like that of John G. Lakes. John G. Lakes was somebody who was in the healing ministry. This is about 3 years ago. 3 years ago, I didn't know Pastor Clay. I had not met him 3 years ago. But this would be the third year we are entering now. But I didn't know him. And nobody knew about that. But the whole time, that prophecy was in my mind. So about last month, after we finished the Friday prayer, the pastor called me. He said God has spoken. He believes that we should start a ministry here, and I should be part of that ministry of John G. Lakes. As he's saying it, my spirit tells me, "You remember Tom? Tom is the guy who gave me that prophecy. You remember?" He said, "You remember 3 years ago what that guy told you?" The pastor had no way of knowing. I had never told nobody. Then he said, "Go and pray about it." So I went home. That night, or the second night, I had a revelation. In the revelation, I was struggling with my identification, with my ideas. When we go to another church, there is a woman who has the power of God. She knows how to interpret dreams very well. Nancy was there. Loretta was there. Both of them, I didn't even know they would be here today, but they are here. So I told her my dream. And when she explained that, when she interpreted that dream, she said, "God is taking my old identity away. God is giving me a new identity." And everything lined up with what the pastor had told me. You see, everything is taking shape. Now, I came back the next week. He said, "Have you prayed about it?" I said, "It's all set." Now I told him the sequence of things. And since then, everywhere we go to, all people are talking about is John G. Lakes. Even last Sunday, in a different city, the pastor was talking about John G. Lakes. So my wife asked me, "Did you tell him?" I said, "I didn't tell him nothing." I didn't tell him nothing. Now, a few days after that, then an old friend from New Jersey called me and said she is going to train for John G. Lake's ministry. So where there is no vision, the people perish. We are people of vision. We don't live by information. We live by revelation.
Amen.
Because God has not called us to understand. You might be one. I've heard some people say they want to understand before they believe. Jesus did not call you to understand. Jesus called you to follow him. And at his own discretion, he reveals what he wants to reveal to you. We have to follow him hook, line, and sinker, because he knows the way and understands the way through the wilderness. The wilderness of life. Where there is no vision, the people perish. Why would the people perish? Because where there is no vision, we are left with information. Where there is no vision, we are left with the condition rather than the position. Where there is no vision, we are left with a mindset that is wobbly and does not believe in the things of God. Where there is no vision, we live by the intellect rather than by experience. You can have all the knowledge that you want, but one experience with the Holy Spirit will change the equation.
Amen.
Of your life. We don't live by logic or reasoning. We live by the power of God, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. That I may know him and the power of his resurrection. The power of his resurrection is what we need, because that is the power that raised up Jesus from the dead. And that is the same power by which you will overcome all the difficulties, all the problems, all the ugliness around you, around us. We will overcome by the revelation that we receive from the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, he will be our helper. Now, it is by that revelation, by the same revelation, living by revelation, we know that even though the devil has made your life of has made your life to become nothing, God will turn it to something in Jesus' name. So that all the attacks of the enemy against you and the balls of the devil's attack against you will become a whole lot of nothing. And I speak to you today, to your situation, to your circumstances, that whatever challenges, that whatever difficulties, in whatever way the devil has been beating you up, that they all turn to a whole lot of nothing in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Today you are an overcomer because you have come to the house of the Lord. Because the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous runs into it and is safe. Today you have come into the house of the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Yes, you have come into the house of the Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
I will say that today you have come out of your Moab to your Boaz. You know that Ruth and Naomi, they were in a strange land. And that land was not profitable. All they had was calamity after calamity. Their husband's dead. Naomi's children dead. That was not a profitable land. You may be in a terrain right now that is not profitable to you. Maybe in the family, one bad news after another. Last time, I saw somebody. Say how the son was, the son had been sick. I said, how is your son? He said, not good. He said, the whole family. It's not good. The whole family. God can turn that situation around.
Right.
You are not going to force somebody to get healed. If she availed herself of what God has given to her, that kind of person has subjected her mindset to her condition, instead of lifting up their mindset to her position in Christ. You are healed. By the stripes of Jesus, you are healed. That is the will of the Lord.
Amen.
And it is God's will. When we understand, when we come to the understanding by revelation that there is healing in the atonement, then we come to the understanding that God wants to heal us. And it's his desire, it's his will. And that will that God has to heal us, God does not need any executive fiat. He does not need any Congress. He does not need any Senate to pass the law for the executive to sign it before he does it. God is higher than every power, higher than every hierarchy of power. It is his will. Now when we come to that understanding, our life will blend with what God has done for us. Because Jesus has already completed it. And I this morning, as I speak to you, yeah, like I say from Moab to Boaz. So when they left the land of Moab and they came to Israel, and their life changed around, turned around. Ruth met Boaz. And Ruth, who came from a strange land, now became somebody in the lineage of Jesus. That is how Jesus can turn your life around today. I'm here to declare to you this morning that there is power in the blood. That there is power in prayer. That healing is for you. And not only healing, that you can live in divine health. And I thank God that we have a church and we have a pastor who is open up fully to the full manifestation of the Spirit of God.
Amen.
He has not bottled up. He has not bottled up the move of the Spirit because he understands that the church belongs to God, and we are grateful. We are grateful for that.
Amen.
Yes, and that is all. And because of that, a man with that kind of revelation needs honor. We have to walk with it like Nehemiah said. He said, "Let us rise up and build."
Amen.
We are building the house of the Lord.
Amen.
He's leading. We honor him. We respect him. We follow his direction. More so as we know that he's a man who is led by the Spirit of God, that will join him to lift up the work of God. As Nehemiah said, let us rise up and build.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Blessed be the name of the Lord.
Blessed
be the name of the Lord.
Blessed
be the name of the Lord.
Blessed
be the name. Blessed be the name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name. Blessed be the name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. The Most High God is here. The Most High God is here. He lives. He reigns forever to make intercession for us. If for instance, there is nothing that you will remember today, but don't ever forget that you have a plea against the accusations of the enemy, against the stand of the enemy against you. Your enemy is the devil. Your plea is the blood of Jesus. The blood of Jesus is potent, is powerful. That is what we do when we pray. That is what we do when we intercede, because we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and by the words of our testimony. So whatever the enemy brings against you, whatever situation you find yourself, your plea is the blood of Jesus. It's the blood
Amen.
Of Jesus. It's
Amen.
The blood of Jesus. When King Hezekiah was sick and was at the point of death, now he prayed to God. God, you see all that I have done for you. You see how I have lived, how I have followed you. That is the old dispensation. And God had mercy. And we have a better dispensation.
Amen.
Because we have Christ. So the pattern of his prayer, we can also follow that pattern of the prayer. But what will happen when he said, God, you know what I have done for you, now we tell God, God, you know what Jesus has done for me. You know what that Jesus has shed his blood for me. You know that Jesus has died for me. You know the redemptive promises that follow what Jesus has done for me. God, because of that, I plead the name of Jesus. I plead the blood of Jesus, because you say that if any man is in Christ, he's a new creation. The old is gone. The new has come. God, I'm new. God, my mind is renewed. God, I believe that you are able and you are willing to heal me, to help me, to take me out of this situation. And I do believe God will come to your rescue. That is the God who is able. That is the God who is strong. That is the God who heals. That is the God who delivers. That is the God who sanctifies. Who sanctifies and is here today. And I commend him to you. Lord, I thank you because your power is here. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Before I hand over to the pastor, if there is anybody here this morning, you know that